Meanwhile, in France, investigators are trying to uncover the identities of all the attackers and the details of how those attacks were planned. And many are wondering about intelligence gaps and security in the West. Here was President Obama speaking today in Turkey.
France is already a strong counterterrorism partner, and today we're announcing a new agreement. We're streamlining the process by which we share intelligence and operational military information with France. This will allow our personnel to pass threat information, including on ISIL, to our French partners even more quickly and more often.
Phil Ewing is National Security Editor with NPR. Hi, Phil.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. I want to ask you about that intelligence agreement, but first, we're seeing reports now of an ISIS video threatening more attacks. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's right. ISIS claimed responsibility for this terrorist attack, and they've broadened their threats against the West to include other capitals of what they consider to be crusaders, including here in Washington, where I am. And so it's something that we expect intelligence and national security officials both here and in London and in Paris and elsewhere are watching very closely.
So what about this intelligence sharing agreement between the U.S. and France? How is this any different than intelligence sharing that already takes place between the U.S. and our closest allies, including Britain, Australia, France, and others?
Well, there are some special agreements between the so-called Five Eyes, the U.S., the U.K., Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and there are countries that also have separate intelligence sharing agreements. And I have a statement here from the Pentagon which describes how this agreement will enable U.S. military personnel to more easily share operational planning information and intelligence with our French counterparts, which seems to mean that they'll be able to send Paris the latest and kind of newest breaking material that they have without going through whatever bureaucracy had been in place. Now, the U.S. and France work very closely together on intelligence and counterterrorism, so there was already a robust relationship there. The way President Obama and other officials are making it sound today is whatever final barriers still were in place are now gone, so that the NSA, CIA, and other agencies here in Washington can talk directly to Paris as they need to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, a huge question on everyone's mind is what was known, if anything, before the attacks, and if they did not pick up any intelligence on this, why not? In May, after the Charlie Hebdo attacks, the French Parliament passed a more expansive surveillance law, allowing the government to monitor communications of French citizens, but officials say they just can't find every threat.
Yeah, that's right. One of the explanations given from French officials since the attack Friday has been there are just too many of these guys wandering around Europe and in Syria and elsewhere for them to watch 24 hours a day. And, you know, they're very smart, too. The enemy gets a vote, as defense officials in the Pentagon often tell us. They are using whatever tradecraft they can to try to circumvent detection and surveillance and observation. And sadly, tragically, in the event of Friday's attack, they appear to have succeeded.
Well, U.S. officials have said before that there is a numbers problem, that about 1,200 people have left France to go fight in Syria with ISIS, and that some 200 of them have returned and folded themselves back into French society. So what do we know about these attackers?
Well, that's the big question that everyone is going to be asking going forward. You know, this was a theoretical problem before, this flow of foreign fighters from France and the West to Syria and back again. Now this attack in Paris appears to have made that a literal, actual danger. And so the French government has declared the state of emergency there that's going to last for the next 3 months. And although the French borders are not closed, they're not sealed, President Hollande has said there's going to be stricter controls about who comes and goes, clearly because they want to wrap their arms as much as they can about who's coming and going to try to stop more attacks like the one we saw Friday.
And I've seen that the intelligence services at the moment in France don't have the manpower to do surveillance around the clock, which requires at least a dozen people. So I assume the president of France has said something about stepping that up. The United States president spoke for about 40 minutes today about these attacks. He was asked about the threats to America and if he's rethinking U.S. strategy. What did he say?
He basically didn't change his position. He said the U.S. would intensify its efforts against ISIS in Syria and Iraq, but he did not signal any major changes in the way the U.S. intelligence and U.S. military effort has been going against those campaigns. He was pressed on this by reporters who were expecting him to double down or speak more aggressively, and he just didn't do it. He stayed where he was from before these attacks, saying the same problems and dilemmas that were in effect before remain. There's no government in Syria in most of the country. The Iraqi government has been struggling to fight against ISIS in the areas that it has taken. And no effort by the United States on the ground in terms of an invasion or some kind of robust troop commitment is going to change those realities over the long term.
So it was no drama Obama who came to the press conference today and basically defended his strategy against ISIS. So does that now put the onus on France?
Very much so. And the question for everyone watching this will be to what degree the French, if they want to act on their own, either seriously over the long term or just for political consumption over the next few months, can change this stalemate, as it's been described, in Iraq and Syria in this war on ISIS. The French don't have that much military capability. They've been a part of these airstrikes, but they haven't been leading on it. The U.S. will probably try to support them to some degree, but we just don't know yet what they're going to try to do to try to, get some revenge after these attacks on Friday.
Well, I expect probably an increase in budgets for security forces and army, but we'll wait to hear about it from you. That's Phil Ewing, national security editor for NPR. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you.